Chapter 1, the book of Romans, chapter 1, and read a familiar passage this morning as we look here at the book of Romans this morning, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. You know, it's always good to be reminded of the goodness of God, and it's always good to be reminded again of what the Lord has done for us. If you're saved, you ought to be grateful again. You ought to never get tired of hearing the gospel. Never get tired again of hearing the good news. We're going to look at it. We'll read it, and then we'll go from there. Okay, but we're going to read just simply the. A short portion here in the book of Romans chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 15. And the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans, he says, so as much as is in me, he says, I am ready to preach a gospel to you that are at Rome also. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. A message simply entitled The Gospel. That is what the Apostle Paul again desired to go to Rome and to preach, and that is what we will look at this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We just thank you again for the hymns again that have been sung, and truly as we consider, Lord, how great you are, and Lord, I thank you this morning that you are a true God, a God again who hears, who answers prayer, and who ministers to the needs again of his children. And Lord, I just pray that we would be the servants that you desire for us to be. And I pray, Lord, now even this morning that you'd bless your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd use your word again in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, I pray that our desire would be again to be drawn closer to you. And Lord, just bless now this time. Bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking here again at the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 16, as the apostle again desires to go to Rome, to preach in Rome and declare again to them the gospel, desiring again to preach there. And we're going to get right into this message, and we see again as we read there in verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, we ought not be ashamed of the gospel. We ought not be ashamed. We ought to be grateful again that we get the privilege to proclaim the gospel. And you know, the Apostle Paul, as he was preparing again to go, Rome was a place again of power. Rome was a place of power. Rome was a place, again, believe it or not, of culture. You know, they had the power. They had the army, whose strength, again, could not be matched. And they had culture. They had art. And here comes Paul with the gospel. And the gospel, again, that he was preaching was of one who what? Had been crucified. And that's all they really knew about Christ. And here Paul says, you know what, I'm not ashamed of it. I am coming to preach the gospel. And so we begin here, first of all, with the gospel being declared, the declaration again of the gospel and what Paul is coming and going to proclaim again here in Rome, and the gospel again being declared. Recognize, if you go to the first verse, by the way, in this chapter, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. He says, unto the gospel of God, verse 2 says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You see, the gospel wasn't something new. The gospel was not something new that Paul and the apostles had conjured up. The gospel was not something, again, that man had thought up, that conjured up. No, the gospel, again, was declared by God and by the prophets in the Old Testament, in the Holy Scriptures, he says. And one of those places, again, where the gospel is declared is none other than in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. We look here at the gospel or the proclamation or the declaration, again, of the gospel, even in the Old Testament. You see, there's nothing new. The gospel was not something new. It had been declared even in the Old Testament. And in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness when we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And we see here the gospel again presented. And again, he goes on in the end. In verse 12, he says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. It's a declaration, again, which was made. The gospel was declared, again, in the Old Testament. But we understand and we know, we see it again after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, after his ascension. The apostles went to preaching and went to teaching, and one of the center of their teaching, again, was what? It was a gospel. What is a gospel? It was a good news. It was a death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, without the which there would be no purpose, no reason again for us to declare our faith. There'd be no reason again for our preaching. There'd be no reason again for our teaching or for our living, except for the fact that we have the gospel, the good news again, which we have again declared unto us both in the old and in the new. And again, we see in Acts chapter 2, this declaration again at Pentecost, when Peter is preaching, and we're going to get toward the end of it here before he makes his appeal to the people. But in verse 32 of Acts chapter 2, he says this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has showed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstools. Therefore, he says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. This was a message again which Peter again preached at Pentecost. It was a message again which caused again the hearers again to be pricked in their heart and to come to that place of repentance when they heard again what God had done and how God had sent his son again to die for their sins. It was a gospel. It was a gospel. Again, we see it in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, as the Apostle Paul again declaring to the church at Corinth, because there were some that declared that there was no resurrection. And yet here Paul again appeals and declares again to them this truth. And chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 1, he says, "Moreover, my brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." You see, the gospel is not just Christ dying on the cross. The gospel, if the gospel was, if somebody comes and says, "Hey, I have the gospel, Christ died on the cross," that's not the gospel. The fact that Christ died and was buried. He says, "I have the gospel for you. Christ died on the cross and he was buried." It's truth, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is what? The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. That is, again, the good news, again, that is declared unto us. That what? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You see, it was our sins that hung Christ on the cross. It was our sins. It was our transgressions, again, for which he died. And he was buried, and he rose again. Again, the Bible says for what? For our justification. You know, if Christ had not arisen, we wouldn't be justified. We couldn't be justified. We couldn't be. And yet, because he arose, we can be justified. And so Paul is coming, and he's writing to the Romans. He desires again to see them. He desires again to go to them. And he says, "You know what? I want to come to Rome, and I want to preach again." He says, "Well, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed again." Yes, there's those again there that have different teachings, different philosophies, and people will mock me, and people may laugh at me because of my faith. And by the way, it hasn't changed today. People will mock you. People will laugh at you because of your faith. But you know what? You ought not be ashamed of the gospel. You ought not be ashamed of the gospel, because this good news again has a power to change lives. It has not just a power again to change your eternal destiny, but it has power again to change your everyday life. And the Apostle Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." He says, "I'm not ashamed again to come and preach. In fact, I want to come and preach." By the way, he mentions this word gospel four times from verse 1 to verse 16. He mentions it four times here in the book of Romans chapter 1. His desire again was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? If you have nothing else to say, if you have nothing else again to proclaim, you ought to be willing to do what? To proclaim the gospel. It was it was declared again in the Old Testament. It was, of course, it was declared in the New Testament by the apostles and even by Paul again, who was one born out of due season, out of due time. But praise the Lord again, he was willing to accept the Lord and not just accept him, but willing to serve him. And so we see again where what this gospel is. He says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God unto salvation." This gospel again, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was what? It is a power of God unto salvation. This is the vehicle, as it were, This is a vehicle which God has chosen again by which to bring us unto salvation. It was a sacrifice again which God required. It was a sacrifice again which God deemed again the need in order for our sins to be forgiven. And not just any sacrifice, but the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it is a power of God, again, unto salvation. Salvation. What is that word, salvation? Well, salvation includes words like justification, forgiveness, perseverance, deliverance, safety, salvation. What is it again that we need salvation from? Well, he mentions it here again in this passage. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." You see, the wrath of God has been revealed. Okay? The wrath of God has been revealed. Guess who who experienced the wrath of God? People in Noah's day experienced the wrath of God. It's been revealed. God hates unrighteousness. God hates sin. And by the way, we ought to hate sin as well. We ought to hate sin as much as God hates sin. You know what? Our lives would be different. Our lives would be changed. If we would, comprehend again how much God hates sin. He hates it. He deplores it. He was willing again to destroy the earth again, for what? Why is that? Because of the sins of man, the wickedness of man. You say, why would I need salvation? Well, you need salvation because you're a sinner. You say, well, that's not very nice. No, but that's what the Bible says. The Bible says what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, I'm not a murderer. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not a fornicator. I'm not an adulterer. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says what? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means we've all sinned in one way or another, whether in speech or in thought or in deed. We've all sinned. At one time or another, we all have sinned. And so the wrath of God again is revealed and is going to come upon, and it's come upon already, those that were against all ungodliness, all that did things that were contrary to the word of God, that were contrary again to the commandments of God. How many of us have done at least one thing contrary to the commandments of God? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? Now raise your hand, Adrian. You have too. We all have, right? And so therefore, what? The wrath of God. God is justified. God is just, and he's right again. You say, well, you know, I'm not as bad as that person. No, but you've broken the law of God. You've broken the law of God. We're all guilty. And therefore, we deserve, again, the wrath of God. But not only has it been because of we've gone contrary to God, but he says also, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Not only have we gone against God, but you know what? We've also gone against men sometimes. We've done things again to man, whether again, as I recalled, and I'm telling on myself again as a child, going to our little neighborhood store and taking some bubble gum without paying for it. We had a little scheme going on. And one friend would go to the counter and pay for whatever he was going to get while the other one was putting things in his pocket. Now, don't do that, young people, okay? I'm not telling you that so you would do that. I'm telling you, it was what? It's unrighteousness of man. As a child, that wasn't an adult, that was a child. Oh, no, children are innocent. They don't do anything. No, 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 don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself, you know. From that little, we're born sinners. Are we not? From when? We heard that in Sunday school this morning. From when are we sinners? From when? From conception. From very conception. Are we deserving again of the wrath of God? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Who hold again the truth in unrighteousness. We hold the truth in unrighteousness. We don't want the truth. We want to distort the truth. We want the truth to be our truth. Oh, I know what the Word of God says, but I know what the Bible says, but there's an exception for my case. I'm a little bit different. There's an exception. I've been wronged. People have mistreated me. So I have a right to do what? To do whatever I want. Now, where do you find that at in the Bible? First Opinions, chapter 3. Right? You're not going to find it in this Bible. You're not going to find it in this Bible. And Paul says what? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed again of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. And why is it? Why do I need salvation? Well, because you're a sinner. Because we're sinners. But it is the power of God unto salvation. It is through the gospel again that we can receive again salvation. How? Well, some people say, well, if I'm a good person, if I do good works. No, that's not what it says. Well, if I go to church. There are those, again, that will teach what? Well, if you follow the sacraments, huh? No, it's not by works. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. You can't do enough good. You can't have enough religion. For it's the power of God, he says, unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How is it that the gospel can impart to me salvation who am a sinner? How can the gospel impart to me salvation who am a sinner? Through faith. By believing the gospel. You see, Paul says that he declared unto them what? The gospel. He preached unto them the gospel. He says, "Ha! Well, what is it? Well, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. What do I have to believe? that Christ died? Well, I had to believe that Christ died for what? For my sins. You know what? It was my sins that put Christ on the cross. It was my sins that placed him on the cross. It was for me again that he died. It was for me again that he was buried, and praise God, it was for me again that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I have to accept that. Recognizing what? Recognize what? I'm a sinner. The Bible speaks of what? Of repentance. In the book of Acts, again, chapter number 3, Peter, again, after he had preached already at Pentecost and had confronted, again, those that were pricked in their hearts, and he told them to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. In verse 19 of Acts chapter 3, he says this, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." You see, he's speaking to the Jews here. He's speaking to the Jews, and he says this to them, what? Repent. Or turn again. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from your religion. Turn away from everything that you think is going to get you to heaven. He says, and be converted. Turn away from your sin and turn to who? Turn to the Lord. Turn to him. He says, be converted that your sins may be what? May be blotted out. Have your sins been blotted out? You see, there's a list that's been made concerning your sins. They're written down. But what they used to have, again, was people would have accounts, and they were written. They would write down accounts of things that were against them. They kept an account. The word blotted out was, when it was paid, what did they do? They would take ink or whatever and just put it on there, and now it couldn't be read anymore. It couldn't be read. You couldn't read. It wasn't legible anymore. Why? Because it had been taken care of. And that is the way it is with the believer when someone comes to the Lord and everything's written down. All our sins written down. Everything's written down. But you know what? When you repent and are converted, it gets blotted out. You know what it gets blotted out by? The blood. The blood of Jesus Christ blots it all out. And I'm grateful again for that. And it's through faith, for by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody that's going to be in heaven, nobody in heaven is going to be able to say, hey, I got here because I was in church every time the doors were open. I'm here because I led 500 people to the Lord. Or I am here because I gave my money, I gave what I had to feed the poor. You know what? All those things are good. And we ought to do again what I just spoke of. Or be willing again to do it. But nobody will be in heaven because of that. Nobody. Salvation, again, is to those who what? It's a power of God into salvation to those who what? Who believe. All who believe. I'm grateful for that. You know what? I'm grateful that salvation didn't stop before March of 1987. I'm glad it didn't stop before then. You know why? I would have been destined for hell. I would have been destined for hell. But every individual, again, that has lived could avail themselves again of salvation that comes again through faith in the gospel, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that? You see, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It didn't matter who they were. This isn't just speaking again about ethnicity, but it's speaking again about those that were religious. You see, some thought that they were saved because of the religion. But no, they needed the gospel preached to them. They needed the gospel preached to them. Why? Because their religion didn't save them. It was the gospel for their faith. Putting their faith again in the gospel of Jesus Christ is what would save them. What about the Greeks? Well, they followed after what? Wisdom. Remember the ones at Athens? They sat and they wanted to hear. They just sat for hours and hours. Just to see, to hear some new things. See what else we can hear. What else can we learn? They believed that what? Through their learning, again, they were going to attain perfection. What did they need? They need the gospel. They need the gospel. We have people today, again, that need the gospel. Oh, they're intelligent, they're smart, and they have degrees, and they have degrees upon degrees. But what do they need? That's not going to get them anywhere. They need the gospel. But the gospel, again, goes beyond again, knowing that we have a home in heaven. He says this in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel again reveals what? The righteousness of God. Not just simply, again, that God is holy, but the righteousness of God. The righteousness, again, which is of God. And again, it is said of Martin Luther, that great Lutheran. By the way, I don't think he went far enough. In fact, he stayed behind because they still sprinkle and do all those things that the Catholics do. But he did take a stand, didn't he? But Martin Luther, when he thought of the righteousness of God again, which condemned him for his sin, he wasn't all that thrilled. But when he saw the gospel and he recognized again that the righteousness of God also meant that it brought forth salvation, that it was imputed unto him. You see, when we get saved, according to the book of Romans, chapter 8, well, what does the Bible say here in Romans chapter 8, verse 1? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know that when you accept the gospel, God no longer sees you in your sin, but he sees you as righteous. having fulfilled the righteousness which is of the law in you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? What a trade. What a trade, again, God makes for us and in us. But it goes, again, as I said before, it goes beyond simply affording us a home in heaven. For this revelation, again, he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You see, the Christian life, it's not just about faith for salvation. But the Christian life is faith for everyday living. Every day. Every day. We need faith. We may not walk by faith, but we do need it. We wonder why. Why is it that I keep faltering, I keep stumbling, I keep falling, I keep sinning? Well, why is it? Why is it? Oh, because you're not walking by faith. You thought I was going to say because we want to, right? Well, we're not walking by faith. We think that we can do it on our own. Oh, I can live this Christian life. I know how it's done. I know how to live it. I know what I shouldn't do. I know what I shouldn't say. I know where I shouldn't go. I know what I shouldn't wear. I know what I shouldn't listen to. Well, what do? You listen to that you shouldn't do. You say those things that you shouldn't say. You wear the things that you shouldn't wear, and on and on and on. Why? Because you're trying to do it on your own. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. As we have believed in Christ, we are to walk in Christ. How have we believed in Him? By faith. So then how do I walk in Him? By faith. Accepting again what He has done. Accepting already the work of Calvary. And the gospel again has given to us much more again than I believe that we take in. And we fall short again in taking all that God has given to us. The righteousness of God already has been imparted to us. But you know what? We can walk in that righteousness. How? By faith. By faith. The just, he says what? The just shall live by faith. Every day. It's an everyday faith that has been imparted through what? Through the gospel. Through the gospel. Again, Paul declares it again. As we have, we've been buried with Christ. And if we've been buried, we've been raised also with Him. To do what? To walk in newness of life. If we've been buried with Him, then we've also been raised with Him. We've been raised. It's happened already. And we're to walk in newness of life. You see, it goes beyond. The gospel, again, has changed and does change lives. It makes the crooked straight. It'll make the drunk sober. It makes the unrighteous to walk righteously. How? By faith. By faith. All this has been given to us. All of it. But how much of it do we use? How much of salvation have we really accepted. Think about it. Think about that. Think about all that it affords us. Victory over sin. Victory over self. Victory over Satan. And how many of us find ourselves oftentimes defeated by self, sin, and Satan? When we have the victory, when we already have the victory, and yet we find ourselves what? Defeated. We find ourselves defeated. It ought not be. Paul says, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that what? To all that believeth. So when we falter, it is why? You know why? We're not believing. We're not living by faith. We're not living by faith. You see, the righteousness of God has been revealed unto us. It's not just been shown to us. It's been revealed. It's been given to us. And if you've accepted it, you have it. You just fail to live by it. You see, the gospel affords us a home in heaven, but it also affords us a life of abundance, a life of victory, if we're willing to do what? Live by faith. The just, he says, shall live by faith. How are you willing to live? Are you willing to live in the power of God, in the power of the gospel? We're not. It's a difference between what? Between victory and defeat. A Christian should live a life of victory. Why? Because a life of victory brings glory to God. It brings honor to God. It gives light again to the gospel. This is why. How is it that you can live in this world And not be all mucked and mired? Oh, because I'm a good person. I'm just good. No. How can you do that? Because of the gospel. And when they see your good works, who do they glorify? The Father which is in heaven. It's needful again for us to do what? To live in the power of the gospel. Of the resurrected Christ. Why? Because that is how our lives bring glory to God. Huh? You want to bring glory to God? You want life to bring glory to God? Then live in the power of the gospel. Live in the power. Live again your life by faith in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that will bring you to walk above the sin of the world. Follow